and good morning. We certainly appreciate you joining us on the broadcast. And again, this is Pastor Brad Ingram from the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. As I do every week, let me invite you to come be with us in our services. If you don't have a church home, or perhaps you're new to the area, maybe it's been a while since you've been in church, why don't you come give us a visit? We're located on North Elyria Road in West Salem. If you're heading north on 71 from Ashland, you'll take the first exit. After the Ashland exit, it'll be exit 196. You'll take a left off the exit there, and our church is on the right, about a quarter of a mile. We have Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday evening at 7. We also are in the midst of a Monday evening Bible class concerning Baptist history. And that's every Monday evening in the church sanctuary at 7 o'clock. We're studying Baptist history, where we came from. Our heritage is Baptist people. And if you'd like to come to these classes, there is absolutely no charge. And a very attractive notebook will be given to you containing all the materials that are taught in this class. So again, many opportunities to hear teaching and preaching at Truth Baptist Church. And if you're interested in any of these, why don't you come out, and we'd certainly be glad to have you. Also, if you need more information concerning any of the ministries at Truth Baptist Church or the bus routes that we have running all through the area, log on to our website at truthbaptistchurch.com. The Truth Baptist Church website is tbcwestsalem.com. You'll find there information concerning our ministries. We have a Christian school, K-4 through the 12th grade. So many things happening at Truth Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you to be a part of it. If you don't currently have a church home, or perhaps the Lord's leading you in a different direction, why don't you come look on our website, see what we have to offer, and pray about where the Lord would have you to be. All right, this morning, if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to take and turn with me to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. And by the way, for those of you who are interested, this year marks the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. 400 years of the King James Bible since 1611. And this Bible is still the most widely sold, most rejected, most accepted. Oftentimes it is rejected by those who are liberal, but we do believe that it is the very preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. And so just a little bit of history there for you. We take this very seriously. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. If we don't have the Word of God, folks, we don't have a faith. Now let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read for you the first 10 verses, and then we'll have a study on great faith this morning. Great faith from Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, that had been sick. What a remarkable story here. The Lord was on a preaching and teaching ministry in Capernaum, and there was a centurion in the area, a man under authority in the Roman legion. And this centurion had a servant. It was very dear unto him. I would speculate this servant was more like family to this centurion than anything else. And this servant was sick, the Bible says, and the sickness was so grievous he was ready to die. The centurion sent for the Lord, and as the Lord was coming, a delegation stopped him from this same centurion and said, "Lord, you can just speak the word and the servant will be healed." Interesting to note here that two times in the New Testament does the Lord say, "I have not found so great faith in Israel." Both times he was speaking about Gentiles. Now that's very interesting because he came to the lost sheep of Israel. If anybody should have demonstrated faith in Christ, it should have been those Israelites, those Jews to whom had been committed the oracles of God, to whom had been given the scriptures. But you see how it worked? These Jews were not expecting Christ as he came. They were not expecting their Messiah to be robed in rags and born in a barn. But nonetheless, there were some Gentiles who were strangers and aliens to the promises who put faith in Christ. And folks, I don't care who you are. I don't care your nation of origin. I don't care your skin color. Whatever the case may be, if you put faith in Christ, he'll respond to that. And I thank God he does. But this morning, I want us to look at those two words spoken by the Lord himself in verse 9. He said again, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. Great faith. I want to speak this morning just a few moments on this subject, great faith. First of all, I want you to see here, and I ask you to keep your Bible open here to Luke 7. Maybe you'd like to take some notes in this chapter. Such a rich chapter, and we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit this morning to teach us anything that he desires that would be helpful to us. First of all, concerning great faith comes by hearing. Now that's such an elementary rule for the Christian, but we need to be reminded of this. We see this in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And when he heard of Jesus." What was it that this centurion had heard? He heard that Jesus was in the area. He had heard that Jesus was a miracle worker. He had heard that Jesus claimed that he was sent from God. And when the centurion heard those things, the Bible said that's when he sent a delegation unto Jesus that he would heal his servant. And you see, folks, the Bible teaches in the book of Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know what caused this centurion to inquire after the Lord? He heard something. And folks, let me say something to you this morning in love. You'll never have great faith if you are not placing yourself under the hearing of God's word. If you are not regularly hearing the word of God as it is taught, as it is preached, as it is expounded, you'll never have great faith. You see, the word of God feeds our faith. That's why it's so important that you be a part of a local Bible-believing church. Whatever the case may be, when you look for a church, when you pray that God leads you for a church home, I'm afraid that we look to everything else as criteria. Perhaps maybe we want a church that has a good youth program or a good music program, and those things are very important. But I wonder how many people stop and ask the question, what does this church do concerning Bible teaching? Is the Bible their emphasis here? Is Bible preaching and teaching their main business? Folks, it should be, because faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And nobody's faith, I say again, nobody's faith is ever strengthened until that person puts himself or herself under the constant, the continual, daily hearing of the word of God. And let me give you this also, as you continually hear the word of God, you'll begin to trust the word of God. Back to Luke chapter number 7 here. I want you to see something in verse 7. The Bible says, this is a centurion now speaking to Christ, verse 7, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." This centurion said to Christ, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but if you'll just say a word, he will be healed." What was it that the centurion had put his faith in? The word of Christ. The centurion knew that Christ did not have to be there physically. The centurion knew that the Lord did not have to lay his hands on the servant in the physical sense. The centurion had faith in the word of Christ, and that's why he said, Lord, if you'll just speak the word, I know he'll be healed. Why do you think that centurion had so much faith in the word of Christ? I believe I know why. Because he'd put himself under the hearing of the word of God. And folks, if you're not getting a steady diet of the word of God, you will not trust the word of God as you should. It's the same way in earthly relationships. How do you build an earthly relationship between a married couple, whatever the case may be? Communication. And as you begin to speak to one another and you begin to grow and learn of one another, then you begin to trust that person even more. It's the same way with the word of God. If you're not hearing it regularly, you won't trust it as you should. Because this centurion had put himself under the continual preaching and teaching of the word of God, he believed it. And if there's ever a time when we need to be firm in our conviction that the Bible is trustworthy, that it is the word of God, inspired, inerrant, infallible, indestructible. If we believe that, we must stand and say it, but we'll never believe it until we put ourselves under the continual, systematic teaching and preaching of it. And that's why I make it my life's ministry as a pastor, as a preacher, is to give people a steady diet of the word of God. And I'm talking to some folks this morning, I believe, cherish the word of God. I believe those listening to me love the word of God, and you love the God of the word. But I want to ask you this morning, are you putting yourself under the regular hearing of that word? Now, speaking about great faith this morning from Luke chapter 7, I want you to see something else in this wonderful chapter. If you look back at verse number 3, Luke 7:3, the Bible says, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now, I want you to know something here. The Bible said that this centurion sent a delegation of Jews to the Lord, beseeching him. Who was it that the Jews were beseeching? It was Christ, no one else. And I see here, great faith only has one object. And let me say to you, that object was Christ himself. That centurion was not trusting the Jews. That centurion was not trusting his fellow Romans. That centurion was trusting no one else but Jesus Christ. And that's evident from the command he gave the Jews. He said, you go and you beseech him. And folks, I see here that our faith must be in the proper object. Do you realize that faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed? You think about folks caught up today in false religion and these Eastern religions, and they have faith. Certainly they do. They give their lives, they give their bodies as martyrs to these unknown and unseen gods. Well, they do that because they're exhibiting faith in someone they cannot see. But you see, that faith will not save. Faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. And this centurion had as the only object of his faith none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This centurion did not put his faith halfway in Christ and halfway in physicians. This centurion did not call some of the local pagan, the witch doctors, if you will, some of the pagan priests. He did not call those men. He only called and send a delegation to Christ himself. The Bible says that you must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the first part of that verse is you must believe that God is, no one else. You must believe that there is a God in heaven, and that God in heaven is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. One and the same, same essence, same divinity, same eternity, same attributes. All these things concerning Christ are the things that were said concerning the Father in the Old Testament. But I see this servant, this centurion, he had faith in one object and one object alone. And folks, let me ask you, who's your faith in this morning? Everybody has faith of some sort. If you claim to be an atheist or a humanist, you have faith in yourself. What you're saying is you are putting your own reasoning, your own intellect, your own beliefs above that which the Bible claims very clearly to be. And so you're putting faith in someone, whether it be yourself, whether it be the leader of your religious movement, whether it be some guru here that's teaching you some spiritual way. Whatever the case is, you are deceived. You are being fooled if your faith is not in the God of the Bible. And this centurion, he placed his faith in no one else but the God of the Bible. I think about the widow with an issue of blood. She came to Christ, and the Bible said she had spent all she had on physicians, and she grew none better, but in fact she grew the worse. When she came to Christ that day, having exhausted all of her other resources, she did not say something like this: I need to touch the hem of his garments, but if I can't touch the hem of his garments, I'll still make a doctor's appointment for tomorrow. No, she knew the only way she was going to get healed is by touching the hem of his garment. Her faith was in a single object, and that object was Christ himself. And of course, you know the story. She did touch his garment. She was made whole from that very hour. But a Christian of great faith, hear me now, a Christian of great faith has no backup plan. A Christian of great faith never says, I'm going to trust Christ and, or I'm going to trust Christ or I'm going to trust Christ and also this or that. Now, that's not great faith. Great faith is the kind of faith that was demonstrated here in Luke 7, and that faith had only one object, Jesus Christ. That's very clear. That's very clear in this text that this centurion had no more options. He was putting all his chips, as it were, on Christ. Everything he had now was placed on Christ. All of his hopes for his servant's healing were put on Christ, no one else. And so, two things about great faith this morning that we've already discussed and I pray have ministered to you so far. We see that great faith comes by hearing, and then great faith only has one object, and that object is Christ himself. Now, the third thing I want you to see about great faith, and this is so important, great faith demonstrates humility. Great faith always demonstrates itself in humility, never arrogance. I want you to go back here to verse number 4 in Luke 7, and let's read a few more verses together. Luke 7, 4, the Bible says, And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now this remarkable passage. The Jews, when they came to Christ, I believe they thought they had to convince Christ that this centurion was worth dealing with. So they said to Christ, this man's worthy of your time. This man's worthy of your effort because he's been good to us. He's built us a synagogue. That's what the Jews said about the centurion. But on the contrary, when the centurion gave a testimony of himself, he said, I'm not worthy. In fact, two separate times in these verses does he say, I'm not worthy. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come enter under my roof, and I'm not worthy even to come myself to speak to you. And folks, it's always better to let someone else praise you, not praise yourself. The old expression down south where I'm from is toot your own horn. But that's the way it is. And so many believers today are going around building up their own name, building up their own reputation. But remember, the Lord said this centurion had great faith, and great faith will always demonstrate itself. Listen now this morning, friends. Great faith will always demonstrate itself in humility. I believe with all my soul that one of the most attractive garments that a believer can wear is the garment of humility. And I see that a proud man or a proud woman never exercises great faith in God. Why should they? A proud and arrogant believer exercises no faith because they don't need any. They believe that they're sufficient for all their own needs. They believe that they can accomplish anything that needs to be accomplished. So again, I ask you, why would a proud man need faith? Why would a proud man need God? Why would a proud man ever humble himself and come to Christ with a request as this centurion did? There is no need for a proud man or woman to come to Christ. At least they think so. But this centurion knew that he was to be humble in God's presence, and he said of himself, I'm not worthy. You know, humility, I'm sure of it, touches the heart of God. I can prove that to you, I believe, in this very passage. In verse 9, after this centurion had claimed himself unworthy, the Bible says in verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. What things did the Lord hear? He heard this man say how he was not worthy. And when the Lord heard these remarks of humility, the Bible says the Lord marveled. Wouldn't it be good to have the Lord marvel at us, at our faith? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the Lord watch our lives and hear our words and marvel at the faith we have, demonstrating itself in humility? Folks, you know who demonstrates great faith? The folks who demonstrate great faith are those who know they have nothing to give. The folks who demonstrate great faith know that they have nothing within themselves to better their own situation. I see another example of this in the New Testament when the friend came knocking at midnight. And for time's sake, we won't turn there, but remember the friend that came to his friend and said, a visitor has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he needed to borrow some loaves of bread. Well, the reason that friend made the journey at midnight to his friend's home is because he realized he had no bread. He realized he could do nothing whatsoever to feed this traveler. He realized if he was going to get bread, he had to go to somebody other than himself. And this man, by the way, was rewarded. His neighbor got up out of bed, though somewhat reluctantly, and gave him all the bread he needed. And so I see here, great faith always demonstrates itself in humility. And folks, I'm not attempting to be harsh, but examine your faith. Examine your level of humility. They'll be proportionate. If you have great humility, you're a person of great faith. If, however, you're a proud person, you may say you have faith, but you really don't believe it. Because a proud man says to himself, and really says to God as well and to all those around him, I'm the supply for all of my need. I am the answer to all my problems. You may not come out and say it in words like that, but that's what you're saying, and you're full of pride. Let me give you this now concerning great faith. This man, this centurion, was a man of power. He was accustomed to authority. He was very used to the fact that he could give commands and someone run here and do this and do that. In fact, he said that in the passage here. But when it came time for this centurion to stand in the presence of Christ, all of his authority passed away. When it came time for this centurion to come into Christ's presence, he recognized he was standing before one who had more authority than he did. And that's what humility does, as it is produced in us by great faith. I don't care what your position is. If you're going to come to Christ in faith, you have to be as the CEO or the janitor. You must be as the one as the top of the food chain or the bottom. You must come with a heart of humility, believing that God will hear your prayer, and believing that if he does not hear your prayer, you're finished. You have nothing whatsoever to offer to better your situation. And so great faith always demonstrates itself in humility. Let me give you this fourthly now. We're going to have to hurry for sake of time. But number four, great faith always produces works. Go back to verse number 5 in our text of Luke chapter 7. The Bible says, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Now, that statement was made by the Jews who came to Christ on the centurion's behalf. These Jews were saying, Lord, help him. He's worthy to be helped because he loves Israel, and he built us a synagogue. Now, those are works. I'm convinced that this centurion had faith in God long before he met Christ here concerning his sick servant. I believe this centurion had faith in God, and I believe his faith in God caused him to be a lover of Israel, God's people, and to build them a synagogue where God's word was taught, discussed, and expounded. And I believe that because even before the servant was healed, the centurion sent messengers and said, when you refer to him, you call him Lord. It's very interesting. I believe the centurion did not just have crisis faith. I believe he had faith in God prior to this event. And let me just say a word about crisis faith. Some believers have faith when there's a crisis, and they'll cry out to God mightily. And they may even shed some tears, and they may make resolutions. Lord, if you'll just help me in this situation. Oh, God, heal this, or heal this, my body, or heal my children, or whatever the case may be. We have crisis faith. But may I tell you this, crisis faith often proves weak and unreliable in a time of true crisis. The reason being is we've not taken the time in prosperity to nurture that faith and to have that faith tested and tried by the Lord. And so this centurion did not just have crisis faith. This centurion came to Christ calmly, faithfully, humble. And he said to him, Lord, I know you can do it. I know you can do it because I've had faith in you for a long time. You never let me down. And so great faith always produces works. If you say you're a person of faith, but you have no works, the book of James says that you have a dead faith. Now, I'll be very clear here. We're not saved by works, but we work because we've been saved. And what that passage in James teaches is if a man doesn't have works, it's because he doesn't have true faith. Because true faith will cause that man to work. True faith will cause that man to labor, to strive, to be approved of his master, not in order to get to heaven, but because he's going to heaven. And let me say here to you, your works will show your faith or your lack of it. Let me give you this finally now, just the last minute we have. Great faith is always rewarded. Verse 10 of the text, the Bible says, and they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. This centurion's faith, a great faith, was rewarded. And that's always the case. The Lord rewards great faith. He cannot and he will not turn it away. The servant was healed. The centurion's faith was rewarded. It wasn't the centurion's power or the centurion's prestige that was rewarded. It was the centurion's great faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Are you a person of great faith? It'll demonstrate itself, and it'll be rewarded always. If you put faith in Christ Jesus today to be born again, to be saved, that faith will be rewarded. You've been saved the moment you ask, and heaven will be your home. And folks, I appreciate you listening this morning. Again, as I ask every week, if you can, drop us a note in the mail. We're at P.O. Box 96, West Salem, Ohio, 44287. And that's the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. Our website is tbcwestsalem.com. Thank you again. Join us here next time on WNCO. God bless you.